Hello, everyone.
Anata.
Healthy Body, Happy Mind conference call. We're really excited to have so many of you joining us tonight. And today we'll talk about very important topics, stress, emotions, food, exercise, in relation to our health and well-being. And Caroline and I will share our tips and tips about changing your relationship with exercise from hating it to enjoying movement and having fun in your body, changing your relationship with food from restriction and binge cycles to enjoyment, nourishment, and true satisfaction, making friends with your body, interpreting your body's language when it comes to cravings and digestion issues, creating an environment of self-compassion where your mind and body can live and communicate in harmony, and move away from impulsively reacting to your cravings and mindfully responding to the underlying emotions. And us women, we need a different approach to wellness. Willpower and pushing through is not a sustainable road to health and wellness for us. We thrive on understanding, compassion, and love, especially when it comes to our own body. So before we dive into today's topics, we just wanted to tell you a little bit about our So Caroline is going to go first and tell her story.
Hi, guys. This is Caroline, and I am a personal development coach. And basically what I do is I support people in distinguishing their own internal expectations so they can live the lives they authentically want to live. My interest in this field grew out of my own personal experience of being on a path that I thought I should follow, and then it turned out not to make me happy at all. I was all set to go to medical school when I started experiencing severe lower back pain, and this back injury turned out to be a blessing in disguise because it forced me to rest and reconsider what I actually wanted to do with my life. So instead of going to medical school, I ended up getting my master's in counseling psychology at Pacifica Graduate Institute, where my studies focused mostly on studying the unconscious and dreams and the imagination. I ended up writing my master's thesis on the mind-body connection. Specifically, I looked at how women experience emotion in their bodies, and that was an amazing and fulfilling experience and has led me to do what I'm so passionately doing today. And now here's Nadia.
And I will tell you a short story about the hard way that my body made me understand that it already knew what it needs in terms of food and exercise and rest better than any other experts or detox authors. And by the way, my name is Nadia, and I'm a wellness coach and a yoga instructor specializing in mindfulness and deep relaxation. And I grew up in a family of doctors who turned natural healers after being disappointed in Western medicine. But I didn't start getting serious about figuring out my own wellness path until I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome upon graduating from my master's program in psychology. And then major digestive issues followed, such as bloating and irregularity. And I wanted to find a natural solution to resolve those health problems. But it was not as easy as I thought that it should be, especially living in New York where there's an abundance of holistic doctors. And the problem was that Chinese medicine said one thing, Ayurvedic, which is Indian medicine, said another thing. Modern detox community was different altogether, and my Western doctor opposed all of those methods. So I felt very overwhelmed and at a loss until I decided that my body knows best and she's the only one who can decide what works and what doesn't. And that was what helped me to pick and choose different strategies from various fields to help me create my own little program that helped me heal my body. And mindfulness, an ability to slow down and really listen to my body, to understand its voice, to decipher it, was one of those tools that really helped me to get onto my wellness path and go from feeling overwhelmed to really tuning in and feeling at peace with my own body. So So mindfulness is a really interesting concept. That's why we're talking tonight about it. And Caroline is going to tell you a little bit about why it is important and what is it.
So I'm going to give you a little introduction to the topic today. Basically, that our relationship with food and exercise is so important because it fuels both our body and our mind. Both relationships are testaments of self-love if we truly dare to listen and understand our body's messages. So often, as Nadia already was telling you a little bit about her own experience, so often we try to use willpower and force to get to a certain goal and we forget to really trust our bodies, and that's sometimes a really difficult journey for many of us. But the truth is that our body knows what it needs in terms of food and exercise and rest already, with the difference being that if you actually trust your body, you can free it from tension and discomfort, and you can free your mind from negative and strict self-talk and actually enjoy a lighthearted and deeply connected life. So truly being in touch with your body and your mind allows you to foster the type of relationship with yourself that gives rise to a sound center. So instead of leading a life guided by willpower and force, try to cultivate mindfulness within yourself and begin to truly love who you are.
And even though mindfulness is a very powerful concept, it's surprisingly very simple. What it means is that simply allowing yourself to slow down and be fully present. When you are fully in the moment, you become aware of all the sensations in your body. You notice all the signals and cues from your body that is trying to communicate to you. And being mindful means that you're not using judgments and giving yourself grades, which usually throughout the day we do almost all the time. We judge ourselves when we eat. We judge ourselves when we exercise. So when you're just being mindful, you're not evaluating yourself. You're just paying attention and listening. So mindfulness is a tool that anyone can use to create a better relationship with themselves, as Caroline already mentioned. It helps to create a very trusting internal dialogue between you, your body, and your mind. So you're not trying to see who is going to win today, whether it's going to be your willpower or your body, who is going to take over. You're just listening to your body, and based on that, you take different actions. So you decide what you're going to eat, how you're going to exercise, and just whether something feels good or doesn't feel good. And based on that, you make most of the decisions in terms of what matters to your wellness and health. And one of the ways that our body communicates to us is through cravings. And I think cravings is a very sensitive subject to a lot of us. At least it was for me, still is sometimes, especially when I'm stressed. And it is for Caroline. That's why she's going to talk a little bit about emotions and cravings and how all of it works together.
Hi again. So I'm going to start off with asking you a question. How often when someone asks, how are you, how often do you say fine or good when in reality you are not? And then I want you to think about with what other aspects in your life you do that as well. Like when do you answer kind of like this honestly because you feel like somehow that's expected from your external world? And I think the reality, for most of us at least, is that we are constantly keeping our emotions in check. And that's something that can become very stressful and puts a lot of pressure on a lot of us if we are always trying to sort of please society and we alter the way we are and speak and act in order to make it a certain way that's somehow more acceptable. And then in turn, like if we weren't always fine, if we were just somehow different and weren't following this like perfect expected way, like we would feel lonely and isolated, almost like something is wrong with us. So what we need to ask ourselves in the midst of all of this is how long can we sustain this kind of covering up before we stop feeling what we are really experiencing altogether? because if we deny ourselves to, so by trying to somehow adhere to these societal expectations, we deny ourselves to fully be who we are, and we start to believe that having a bad day is equal to being depressed, when in reality having a bad day once in a while is totally natural. So noticing this is extremely important, because if we live in this constant cycle of denial, we will forget how to understand the signals our bodies are sending us. And these signals actually carry an important feedback information about our physical and emotional and spiritual dysregulation. So by not hearing these signals, we stuff our true emotions deep inside where there is no light or recognition, and then that comes out as depression and emotional eating and strange craving. So you might ask, what am I to do? And how can I stop this vicious cycle of emotional denial and cravings and overeating? Well, first of all, you have to stop thinking of this cycle as vicious. Both the denial and the cravings are part of you as who you are today. As long as your inner voice is preoccupied with negative and punitive self-talk, absolutely nothing can happen. Like, if you think about it, you can't at the same time be your punishing voice and your advocating voice. You will remain stuck if those two opposing voices are drumming around loud in your head all the time. So in order to move forward, you have to align your internal energies and recreate an environment where you can be in flow and move forward. So I'm going to suggest four steps to start this process. Step one is accept what is. Don't try to work against yourself, but realize your struggles with cravings or overeating or whatever it is, and give yourself permission to stop denying and hiding what is actually part of yourself. I know this might be scary. I've been there myself multiple times in my life, but remember that you're not alone by any means. Your neighbor and your friends, they're all going through very similar things, but we are all so used to hiding it that a lot of times we just can't tell. Step two is track your cravings, and that's actually going to be one of the goodies that we're going to send you guys later. We're going to send you a cravings and emotions log, and you can use that in order to start to develop a closer understanding for when your cravings kick in, when you overeat, and paying close attention to that without the self-judgment that chimes in so often. So you're basically moving away from judgment and towards curiosity. So you're simply observing yourself and studying yourself. And this is an extremely informative journey and a statement of self-love, because you care about your health and your life physically and emotionally. So that leads up to step three, which is understanding your triggers by being mindful. Using the log will give you a better understanding for when your cravings and when the overeating kicks in, and you'll be able to ask yourself questions that can get underneath the surface of these cravings. The cravings or the overeating is merely a veil for an unheard emotion that is hiding underneath. Are you maybe feeling lonely when you overeat and when you crave something so strongly that it's almost impossible to resist it? Are you maybe sad or angry? Do you feel stunted in your personal growth? Perhaps you're unsatisfied with a relationship. It really is like whatever it is for you, you want to say yes to actually hearing what is underneath the surface. And this is an enormously difficult step, but so important in order to find wholeness and connection within yourself, which ultimately set the stage for authentic happiness to enter your life in the first place. And then the fourth step is, once you're aware of your emotion in your mind, begin to feel that emotion in your body as well. And this is really a step that's going to foster your mind-body relationship. And one of the things we're going to also send you is a body mapping exercise. And you can use that worksheet to give your body's emotions expression. You can ask yourself, where does, for example, your body feel loneliness? Like, how does it show up for you? What shape is it and what color? What sensations? Is it numb? Is it pulsating? Is it throbbing? And these questions are really meant to foster your curiosity towards yourself and kind of pull you away from that judgment that is so peripheral a lot of times that it doesn't allow us to feel any deeper. And that is really also a mindfulness technique. You can quiet your mind and allow your body to be your guide. You can begin to connect to the wisdom of your body, again, with less judgment and with more curiosity. And this is something extremely powerful, especially in the relationship you have with your body following periods of cravings and overeating when your body is so sensitive and so leaning towards judgment so many times. By shaping this connection between your emotions, your actions, and your body, you can actually start a path towards truly loving your body and honoring it as vital and beautiful and just part of yourself. And now I'm going to hand you back to Nadia, who is going to tell you a little bit more about mindful eating and digestion.
Thank you, Caroline, for sharing the story. And actually, done the body mapping exercise that Caroline is talking about, and it was really, really cool to notice how my body experiences different emotions, to imagine what colors they were. So I really enjoyed that exercise, so hopefully when you get that tool, you'll like it too. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about mindful eating and its relationship to emotions and to digestion, and just in general how we feel in our body. And before we get into all the details, just take a moment to think about a moment when you ate an entire piece of cake or a pint of ice cream or a bag of chips, and even though it seems like it's a lot of food, you still felt hungry and empty inside. And I'm sure it happened to everyone. It happened to me, and when it does happen to me, I know that I've eaten something mindlessly. So I was not present in the moment when I was putting something in my body. I wasn't listening to my body. I just kind of pushed it down. And mindless eating can lead to a feeling of a bloated, about to explode stomach while you still don't feel nourished. You still feel hungry and empty inside. Over time, it can also lead to us not trusting our body to the point that we always rely to external cues to tell us whether we're okay or not. So, for example, if you look at religious daily weighing that people do, they don't trust their body to tell them whether they're healthy and whether their weight is perfect, but they want the scale to tell them whether they are at the point where they need to be. And when you are mindful and when you're eating mindfully, you get lots of benefits from it. Part of it is that you're starting to trust your own body to send you the signals. So when your body is telling you that you feel comfortable, you know that this is true. It's not just some sort of a trick. And some other benefits of mindful eating are that you're enjoying food so much more. It actually starts tasting delicious, even the simple food. And then as a rule, people start to eat a lot less because they're eating slower, they're enjoying the meal more. As a result, they feel fuller faster. Another thing is that digestion improves because you chew more, and digestion, especially of carbs, starts in our mouth. So it becomes a lot easier on your stomach to digest food when you chew it into small pieces instead of just swallowing the whole thing. And some of us tend to do that in a rush. Another thing is that mindfulness helps to listen to our body more and to rely to its cues versus environmental cues. So we're not eating anymore because the clock tells us to eat, but we can eat only when we're hungry. And that's one of the things that you can observe with your own body. Are you eating because it's time to eat, or are you actually listening to your body and eating when you're hungry? Then another super beneficial thing of mindful eating is that you start to understand what works and what doesn't work for your body. So now you hear all these stories about gluten sensitivity, dairy allergy, don't eat grains, eat grains, don't eat fats, eat fats. So you're always constantly bombarded by different advice by different lists of what eat and to eat or not to eat. And the only way you can stop feeling overwhelmed and to decide what actually works to your body is to create an intuitive map of different foods. It's similar to when you were learning a language as a kid. You kind of put together different words and different objects. The same way you put an intuitive map of how certain foods feel. And that's something that you can do by having a food log, which you will always also get after the call. So you just start making notes how you felt before food and then how you felt after food. And over time, you see the trends. So if you actually do have a gluten intolerance, you notice that when you don't have, for example, gluten or any wheat, you feel a lot better. But otherwise, you're relying always on somebody else's advice. And nobody, no matter how good the nutritionist or the dietitian is, nobody knows how you feel in your own body. So this is your responsibility to pay attention, to slow down, and to really start creating that intuitive map of different foods. This way you will be fully independent and you will know exactly what and when to eat just based on what your body tells you. And according to Ayurveda, it can be very, very specific because according to Ayurveda, which is an Indian traditional medicine, what is a nectar to one person can be a poison to another person. So based on your genetic digestion power, on what your ancestors ate, of how your body works, something may work for you, but it may not work for the person next to you. So it's really a matter of tuning into your body and really, really paying attention, asking yourself after each meal, how am I feeling? Do I feel energized? Do I feel sluggish? Is my stomach bloated? Am I happy and satisfied after a meal? And through those internal questions, you slowly start to creating that guide map for yourself. And mindfulness has to be trained just like any other skill. Over time, it just becomes very natural. And one of the things that helps to train mindfulness is to start eating mindfully. So every time when you sit down to eat, hopefully you do sit down and don't eat standing up or walking or running, like I see so many people do in New York. Always makes me want to stop them and tell them, stop, sit down. So it is important to sit down to eat. But before we go into all the mindfulness tips, think of the moment that you really enjoyed food and time when you felt present and aware and was absolutely satisfied with the food that you had. What senses were engaged? What was the environment? Just close your eyes and bring yourself back to that moment, to that dinner or lunch that you had. And most likely, if you're honest with yourself, you will notice that during that most enjoyable meal, you had a lot of senses engaged. You probably remember the way the meal looked, the way it smelled, the way it tasted on your tongue, what music was surrounding you, which people you had around you. And usually we naturally become in that state when we're eating out in a very, very expensive restaurant. So when you pay $40 for an entree, you automatically become mindful. You look at the dish, you take a picture with your iPhone, you send it to your friends or upload it to Facebook. You talk about the presentation to everyone around the table, take a bite, really savor it, usually put the fork down, see how it feels when the bite goes down. So you really try to absorb as much flavor and as much of an experience as possible so you get that value for your money. Surprisingly, when we eat at home, feeling completely goes away. So one of the tricks is to always try to eat, even at home, as if you were eating in a five-star restaurant. Just bring yourself back into that experience and see if you can slow down and enjoy a very simple meal, just a regular meal that you make for yourself, the same way as you would in a restaurant. And one of the things that's really important to understand is that turning on all of your senses is impossible if you're in a rush. So we really need to learn how to slow down, how to take a moment, and even if you know that you have a huge to-do list, knowing that it's super important for your health and wellness, that you will feel satisfied and fulfilled with a meal, take that 20 minutes, block everything, close your computer, turn off your phone, and just enjoy the meal. I bet you're not going to crave something sweet after that meal, or at least not as much as you would if you ate in a rush without paying attention to the food. So before you put anything in your mouth, just take a moment to close your laptop if you have it in front of you. Be aware of your thoughts. Maybe say a meal grace if you know how to, if you feel like it. And then just pay attention to the food. Try to talk only in between bites. Smell the food. Observe the way it looks on your plate. Chew really slowly until the food is liquid. Don't forget to breathe in between bites. We usually eat so fast that we never take a complete breath. And then once we're finished eating, you feel that, well, I can't even breathe because I'm so full. If you keep breathing throughout the whole meal, it's not going to happen because you're going to be communicating with your body throughout the whole meal. Another trick is to put your utensils down, put your fork or your spoon down, and just chew. So you're not trying to put another spoonful while you're still chewing. Just relax, sit back, chew it well. So remember how you ate in the fancy restaurant and eat the same way at home. So now if you do start using a mindfulness techniques for eating, it will automatically affect your digestion. The truth about digestion and us women is usually if something doesn't work or doesn't work the way we want it to work, we tend to ignore it. If the stomach feels bloated, we put on a loose shirt. We try not to touch our stomach or not to even to let our loved ones to touch it. We somehow ignore and numb that area, so we feel disconnected from it. And one of the ways, and it actually hinders digestion, so one of the ways to improve digestion is to let yourself experience it. Let yourself experience that feeling of being overly full if you feel that you overate. No guilt, no judgment, just be present and feel the way it feels. And remember the way it feels. So the next time when you're eating, you know that you don't want to move to that point of feeling overly full. And digestion becomes a lot more efficient when you're always breathing. So when your stomach moves slightly with every inhale and exhale, you give that gentle massage to your abdominal area. You're always making sure that the blood flow is healthy. And eating mindfully, you start chewing food a lot more. So that helps your stomach a lot too. So your stomach doesn't have to work as hard to digest big pieces of food. So those are the very basic, simple tricks. And then the digestion log, the food log that we're going to send you, is going to really help you to start working on creating the foods that work well for your body and then some foods that may not work well for the body. And that's going to help digestion as well. Once you figure out maybe a few items that don't sit that well in your stomach, then you can just eat a little bit less of them or maybe get rid of them altogether. So now we're going to move on to the next story, we're going to talk a little bit about exercise and mindfulness. And in exercise, the same as in food, we often rely on experts' advice, how often to move, what to do when we exercise. And I'm sure you're all familiar with the general guidelines. Move for at least 30 minutes, 5 times a week, run, do weights. If you don't do weights, something is going to happen to your bones. And then there are tons of specific routines. All of them are different, so it's easy to feel overwhelmed again. And as a result, a lot of exercise routines create more stress than fulfill its original purpose of creating a healthy, beautiful body. And a few things that many women, including myself, are or were guilty at some point is exercising when you're tired or on the lack of sleep, pushing past the comfort level, doing exercise that feels as a task and not fun at all, exercising as a punishment for overeating, and then loading up on caffeine before the workout to get at least some energy to be able to finish the workout. When the true purpose of exercise should be to experience the fun of moving your body, to keep the blood flow and lymphatic flow healthy, and then to maintain an optimum joint flexibility and muscle strength so you can fully enjoy life. And if your exercise routine is not addressing those things, then something needs to be corrected. And exercise can be either depleting or nourishing. And depleting exercise can lead to lots of problems in the body. And Caroline is going to share her personal story about how she felt when her exercise routine was not right for her.
So I'm going to tell you my story, which is basically how my exercise regimen has turned from intensity to mindfulness and how that has impacted my mind, my body, and just the way I show up in my life. I grew up playing sports. I come from a family where everybody is super active all the time. So physical movement was always something that was natural to me for me to begin with. During my teenage years, I began to dislike my body, so then that's when exercise also turned into sort of like a body image component that kind of made me feel like there was something I could try to control. And I was like, I was the type of young girl who always thought she was a little bit too big. I was always trying to lose weight, and that really in the end like fostered a dislike between me and my body and a real disconnection. My internal dialogue was always more something that was sort of insulting my body and only saw the mistakes that I could tell that my body was like somehow not perfect, and it was all kind of like filtered through that visual lens of like what society thought was beautiful. And my body really a lot of times felt more like my enemy than my best friend. And I was completely blind to all the things that it was able to do. I was blind to how strong it in fact was, to all the physical activities that it was able to do, because that somehow didn't count into my consideration of my body's abilities and the value it really had. So externally, I entered a cycle where I did everything intensely. I worked out really hard, and then it was followed by food cravings that were too much, too sweet, too salty, just always something too much because I was trying to make up for the lack of emotional caretaking that I was really giving to myself. And this cycle was finally interrupted when I started having severe lower back pain, and I was already talking about that a little bit in my intro, and that was a really big, big turning point in my life. I had two herniated discs in my lower spine, and they required surgery. So my body found a way to force me to rest because everything before then I was just go, 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 pushing myself both professionally, as I mentioned earlier, but also in terms of how I had to look, how I had to be, how the outside world expected me to look and act and everything. So this surgery or this lower spinal injury was really a blessing in disguise. And at first it was, of course, a really difficult time because suddenly I couldn't distract myself from my emotions and personal challenges by being active and working out and doing everything intensely. And at first I reacted with a lot of anger, and I was, you know, angry at my body for deserting me like that, and all these various thoughts were constantly on my mind. And finally I turned a little bit more towards mindfulness by reading a book that started asking questions: what is my body trying to tell me? What is my body forcing me to do by acting this way? So that really started a completely different relationship with myself, and I took these questions further and also started to ask myself these questions in regard to food and eating. So when I had cravings, I started to ask what emotion is connected to it, and that relates back to the topic that I was talking about earlier. But that really started the whole process of digging deeper into my emotional life and really healing from inside out, rather than trying to do things actively in the outside world and expecting it to heal me on the inside. This was a tough journey, but it allowed me to stop being enemies with my body and instead foster a relationship between my mind and my body that is kind and nurturing and compassionate. So once I started to accept and love myself in that way, I was actually suddenly able to lose weight without even trying. But what I did do was that I started to develop a genuine interest in food and genuinely wanted to learn about it and was curious about it, because I was no longer so judgmental about everything that food, whether food was good or bad. And I started to choose workouts that were based on movements that I felt that my body needed instead of how much my head told me I had to sweat. So those were really two crucial points that I started to be able to change in my life and really foster this mind-body connection that is rooted in kindness and compassion with myself. So in this sense, my journey was really one of a healthy body and a happy mind.
Thank you, Caroline. And I actually see a lot of similar stories happening with my clients when women push themselves past the point of fatigue and depletion. And one of the things that I wanted you, to encourage you to think about is, think about 50 years back, to the times of your grandparents, and maybe even your parents. They lived in a very different culture when exercise had a different role. Unless you were a professional athlete, you were never pushed, never forced to exercise as much as we are now. And moving the body is completely healthy. You have to do it. That's the way our body thrives in movement, when our ancestors had to go and get their food and harvest their fields. But at the same time, they were never pushed in the gym environment, in a closed environment without fresh air, and forced to do stuff, especially women. So just keep that in mind when you're choosing your exercise routine. And sometimes when your body is telling you that this is too much, it's not because you're lazy. Maybe it is because it is too much. And to just check in with yourself, you can use a few simple guidelines. Just ask yourself whether whatever you're doing for exercise, is it helping you to enjoy your life, or is it somehow getting in the way of your life? So if you're over-exercising to the point that you can't walk up the stairs, is that helping you to enjoy your life, or is it getting in the way of it? And then choose exercise that actually makes you feel good, that makes you feel feminine, whether it's a dance or a cardio routine. Just really rely on your body's cues. And then try to never exercise as a punishment. Don't let those negative emotions associate with movement. Just really try to enjoy every time when you move, and choose exercise that makes you feel vibrant and fresh and alive every single day, even if it's just a short walk on running up the stairs. And pay attention to how you feel after the exercise. Do you feel drained, sluggish, or do you feel full of energy, like you actually re-energized from that movement? And and I guess that's it. Just make sure that it's always fun and that always makes you feel alive and better than what you did, what you felt before the exercise. So now we have about 15 minutes to answer your questions. And if you have any questions about mindfulness, wellness, health, about us personally, about our stories, if you have something to add, if it's a comment, all you have to do is press *5 on your phone, and we're going to unmute your phone, and you'll be able to ask the question. So you can press *5 on your phone. Anyone? Okay, guys, don't be shy. Maybe just let us know whether you learned something. What was it that you learned, something that you could use for yourself from the call? So I guess we don't have any questions or comments. I'm going to give you another minute or so, guys. If you change your mind, try to press *5.